remember after this conference, 11:15 is the sacrifice of the Mass. Our present meditation is on God's commandment to pray. From the dawn of the Church's history, the obligation to pray was identified with the first commandment of the Decalogue. This is only logical. Those who believe in God want to speak to God. Our focus in this meditation is on prayer as a duty and, in this sense, we may pray whenever we can, and the word is, we should pray, and I mean it literally, always. First, we ask ourselves, briefly, what are the main forms of prayer? There is the prayer of adoration, when we submit ourselves completely to God. Now the prayer of affection or love, we tell God how deeply we love Him. There's a prayer of gratitude, where we thank Him for everything we are and have and hope for. There is a prayer of petition. We ask God for what we need. And do not forget, there's also the prayer of expiation. When we pray God to tell us how we make up for the sins we have committed and the world is so widely committing today. Beyond this classification, the standard classification of the Catholic Church, is the unspoken acceptance that all prayer is essentially adoration. We can speak to God in five different ways. Thus we can approach God as our Creator and Lord. Then our prayer is that of submission, adoration. As our final destiny, we are made for God. We exist on earth only to reach God. We may pray to God, our generous benefactor, from whom we have received and will continue receiving for all eternity everything which we can call our own. This means we should thank God. Thank God with our thoughts. Thank God with our words. Thank God for giving Him back what He's given to us. And most important, we can thank God by giving up. Giving up what God wants us to surrender. we can approach God as our everlasting hope, from whom we expect to receive everything that we need. Finally, in our offended Lord, against whom we have sinned, either personally or all of us collectively, we then beg for his mercy and hear it. We never think, should never think, that life is too difficult or painful. We owe God so much reparation for our sins. Now we ask ourselves, why must we pray? We must pray because God is God and we are we. We must pray because God wants us to adore him by telling him he is the only true God. We are living in a world in which so many creatures are literally adored, and the only remedy for this widespread adoration of creatures is to adore the one true God. God wants us to tell him how much we love him. Why? Because he is so great. Nothing can compare with the greatness of God. God has been so good, good to us, good to the world in which we live. We ought to remind ourselves every so often, at least once a day, except for God, we would not exist. We have a human soul. We are human beings only because God made us human beings. We're living in a world in which God as creator is widely, I mean this literally, is widely doubted and even denied. We believe that God is merciful. We've all sinned, and we must beg his mercy. That, by the way, is why God allows us to sin. So that having sinned, we might beg for his mercy and never, never complain that life is too hard. The longest life we live on earth is as nothing compared to the length of eternity. God wants us to tell him we love him because he is so powerful. Except for him, nothing, and the word is nothing, but he would exist. God did not have to create the world. He did only because he loves us. God is so loving, has to have become man in order to at least attract our love for him. God has become one of us. I want to thank him for all that he has given to us. And we should thank him by anticipation for all that he has promised to give us. Not just in time, but for all eternity. So far, reflection on why we must adore God. God wants us to beg him for his mercy. He makes this a condition for showing his mercy to us. Unless we recognize we are sinners, cannot beg for mercy. We have deeply offended him, and he wants us to beg and keep begging for his pardon. Now the big question, and the main reason for this conference: how can we improve our practice of prayer? We are now living in the last year of the 20th century. Not coincidentally, that 1999 years have preceded us. God wants us to improve our practice of prayer so that, please God, as we enter the 21st century, we will labor, struggle, work to bring God back to the minds and hearts of millions who have, and I mean this, have given up their faith in God. For our purpose, we will concentrate on three recommendations to improve our prayer. By our deeper humility, by our sincerity, and by our greater intimacy with God. What do we mean when we say we are to improve our practice of prayer by growing in humility? All of us, every day, are humiliated. Let me tell you, we need humiliations. You need them, I need them. God gives us the opportunity of being humiliated. He will say things to us or about us we find painful. Thank God. And we are to avoid one of the main purposes of giving this short retreat of less than 2 days. I'll ask our Lord to enlighten you. Avoid even a moment's self-gratification or self-complacent thought. Maybe using strange words, For the idea behind these words is not meant to be strange at all. First, accept humiliations that God sends you. We do some stupid things. God wants us to be fools in our own eyes. To say something which is stupid. To do things in the eyes of others makes us look foolish. We need humiliations. Hear it. We all need humility. Without humility, none of us will reach God. And the only assured way of growing in humility is by being humiliated. We need it. But I know human nature so well. I know this sinner myself too well. We have a temptation and urge to think, what shall I say, nice thoughts about ourselves. Self-praise, I mean it, self-adoration is a constant temptation to every human being. Avoid even a moment's reflection on yourself. You may appear in your own eyes great, intelligent, wise. The moment we call a self-complacent thought and as your mind put it aside, secondly, we are to grow in our humility. We must grow in the practice of sincerity. Oh, how important this is in dealing with people. For the most important being before whom we should always practice sincerity is God. I have it in one declarative sentence. Always be open with God. Tell Him what you really are. In a word, be honest with God. What a statement. Hope I'll be clear. Keep no secrets from God. He wants us to be totally open with Him. And this means, for some people, I know what I'm talking about. Open your hearts fully, frankly, completely to God. Of course, you do this quietly. They do this silently. No one needs either hear or see what before God you consider yourself. Be open with God. The moment you do something wrong, immediately admit it to God. Thirdly, practice intimacy with God. God is always aware of us. What a safe statement. We are not always aware of Him. The one person who is most frequently and constantly on our minds, do I have to say it, is we. God is in all things. And you got to believe it. Of course, He is present in everything which is pleasant, which we like. But God is also always present in what is painful. I know what I'm talking about. In my years of the priesthood, I've dealt with so many souls who opened their hearts to this sinner. How we need to think of God when we are in pain. God is present in the unexpected. God knows exactly what will happen to us when you finish the retreat. God knows exactly what will occur tomorrow. We are to trust Him and see Him, I repeat, in everything. In the least experience of your life, see God. Shall I say it? Develop the habit of being aware of God. Things make noise. Things that are pleasant. Things that are painful. Our minds are preoccupied with these creatures. We should always, this retreat will have been, shall I say, successful. We will learn to always be thinking of God. And that is why my notes tell me to tell you, I mean it. Spend some time before the Blessed Sacrament every day and ask our Lord to deepen your faith. How desperately we need this. We need to be constantly aware of God, especially in things that are painful. God, as we believe, is the author of everything in our lives. We spontaneously thank Him for what is pleasant. We should just as spontaneously thank Him for what is painful. From the dawn of the Church's history, the obligation to pray was identified with the first commandment. What I'm sharing with you in this meditation is the most fundamental obligation of our faith. The most fundamental duty we have as believing Catholics is to think of God and speak with God. But nobody will do this for us, not even God, who replaces our own minds and wills. is only to be expected in the first commandment, especially leveled against the practice of idolatry. And I say this with a full awareness of what I am telling you. You're all naturally prone to idolatry. What am I saying? Naturally prone to be so preoccupied with creatures as to even forget. I don't say to speak to God, but even to think of Him. I cannot be too clear or too strong in recommending the practice of thinking of God. May I first of all recommend that the first thing you do when you get up in the morning is speak to God. Whatever you say to Him, I realize you're talking to God. From the first thing in the morning to the last thing you do at night, talk to God. We've met people, we know them. Some of them may be ourselves. We like to talk. We like to talk to whom? To other human beings. But the one being to whom we should always be speaking, with whom we should always be in conversation, is God. What does this mean? I must, first of all, make a habit of being reminded of God. May I suggest you ask yourselves, what do I have in my home? Do I have holy pictures on the wall? Do I have statues? Or call them statuettes? Do I have, what an important question, do I have good, sound Catholic reading in the house? I ask you to ask yourselves, how much time do you spend each day in doing what the church calls spiritual reading? Oh dear Lord, how many Catholics have all kinds of books? A wall filled with books, but not just having the writing in your home. It is reading it. I repeat, I strongly recommend you spend some time every day doing what the church calls spiritual reading. It may be done by a member of the family, but at least it should be done by yourselves. I can think of no single recommendation for this retreat more basically important than to spend some time every day. Don't go to bed at night unless you spend at least 15 minutes through the day and doing some spiritual reading. Maybe the scriptures, maybe the life of some saint, maybe a book about the spiritual life. We need, how desperately we need to read about God or the saints who loved God. I am told the average American, I've said this I think before, the average American spends 28 hours a week in reading. I've watched too many people read the newspapers, the magazines, in the name of God. Before you finish this retreat, make an examination of conscience. What am I reading? Be sure that your reading is especially good, sound, Catholic literature. I think I should say this. Is years ago, I promised our Lord I would never read anything merely secular. Oh, how our lives are shaped. What's on our minds? What's our minds is what we listen to and what we read. I repeat what I've said before. Idolatry is much more widespread sin than most people realize. In practice, idolatry over the centuries has meant and still means invoking someone or something with a human mind that should be spent in thinking of God. Our focus in this meditation is on prayer. Prayer is a duty which flows logically from the fact that we are creatures whose first duty is to adore God. We shall adore God only as much as we think of God. Let me be very clear. Why do you suppose God sends us trials and difficulties, suffering, sorrow and pain, in order to make us think of Him, ask Him to help us, ask Him to make us realize how helpless we are without Him. This is what our prayer should be. Our prayer should be, first of all, a conscious adoration of God. We should think of God. Our prayer is expressed adoration. We pray only as much as we have God in our minds. Prayer is communication of our minds and wills with God. Oh, how important this is. How we are all, shall I say, tempted to share our thoughts with others. But ask yourselves, and this includes myself, ask ourselves, how much of the day are you thinking of God? Are you speaking with Him? Prayer is conversation with our adorable God. We shall adore Him only as much as He is in our minds. Prayer is a voluntary response to the awareness of God's adorable presence. In this meditation, we ask ourselves, how can we improve our practice of prayer? Let me identify the main forms of prayer. Adoration, by telling God we completely depend on Him. Love, every day, I mean this, many times, tell God, Lord, I love you. Jesus, my God, I love you. It is impossible to exaggerate the importance of act of affection towards God. And these acts of affection, as we know, are not to be only words. How important this is. In the measure that we love God, we sacrifice, we give up what we personally like to show how deeply we love Him. Behind this act of adoring God by telling Him we love Him means, and believe it, means accepting lovingly what He sends or puts into your lives that is unpleasant, that is painful, that is difficult. I've counseled too many people. I've spoken with too many Catholic believers not to know that so many forget to adore God when they have to undergo pain. And the deepest pain, as I've said so often, is not in the body. The deepest pain is in our souls. And tell our Lord, Lord, I could not, I would not accept this cross, embrace it, accept that I love you, you, my crucified Jesus. I think I've recommended this before. Somewhere near you, in your home, is on my desk. There should be a crucifix. Cultivate the habit. Come into your home or room to kiss the crucifix as an act of adoration of the God who became man, out of love for you, died on the cross. Thank Him, first of all, for the pleasant things that He sends you. But what a recommendation. thank Him for the suffering, the pain that He sends you. A couple that I am directing in Detroit, they have 3 children. 2 of the 3 children have abandoned God. And the parents love their children, especially those given up their faith. I told the mother and father, as you keep praying and begging God, bring your children back to Himself. They are liable to die estranged from God. I won't ask for the raising of hands, but I know there are many parents who have at least one, sometimes several children, given up their faith and to pray and beg the dear Lord for the return of these children to the God whom they have abandoned. That is why God, I repeat, sends us trials. We might turn to God and plead with Him to solve the problem that I have, to restore the person to my affection whom I love, but obviously does not love me. We are to love God as our Creator, from whom we came. Except for God, none of us would exist. We could exist, shall I say it, as puppies or kittens, as flies or wasps. A fly or a wasp or a worm has no more claim to existence than you and I have. Am I clear? We exist only as human beings because God loves us. He loves us so dearly. He has given us a human mind with which we can know Him and a human heart with which we can love Him. And I say this with deep conviction from years of experience. The more suffering God sends you, the more pain you experience, the more deeply and sincerely you can love God. I see more than you probably think I'm telling you. There is nothing unites the human heart more closely with God than suffering. Thank God for the suffering in your lives, because the main single purpose that God has in giving us the cross is we might, by embracing the cross, think of God and talk to Him and beg Him, "Dear Lord, I love You. I love You in the pain that I have. I love You and the number of people who have estranged themselves from Me. There is also the prayer," now this needs to be said, "the prayer of gratitude. Cultivate the habit every day of thanking God what He has given you during the day. Nobody will ever send this. St. Ignatius, first days of the novitiate, teaches us how to make a daily examination of conscience. And the first thing we are to do when we begin our examine of conscience is, in the evening, thank God for the graces He's given me. Especially hear it, the painful graces. Thank God for the pain He has sent you. Thank Him for the pleasant things He's given you. Thank Him for the disappointments. Thank for the sorrow. Thank God. I repeat Ignatius' directive. Begin your prayer, Ignatius recommends, by thanking God. In the evening, reflect.